All right. God bless you all. Tonight, I want to talk about something kind of cute, as I would call it anyways. As most of you know, I'm in this graduate program, and it's called a teaching credentialing program, to be exact. And it's a program where aspiring educators go through all the proper hoops and hurdles and requirements and assessments and tests and whatever else you want to call it. We have a student teaching requirement where we have to complete 600 hours of basically free teaching, unpaid work, and we also have a full course load. Probably the most important thing of all throughout this program is that there's a big portfolio that we all have to complete, and it's called the EDTPA, and that stands for Educational Teachers Performance Assessment. And that comes with a whole bunch of requirements, commentary, lesson plans, video recordings, audio recordings, feedback to students. I mean, you name it. Whatever the powers that be want to see, it's in there. But, you know, I was thinking about something, because a lot of my time has been dedicated to planning lessons. And within lesson plans, there's these things that you really have to start with. And you know what they're called? They're called the state standards. And basically, I'll give you an example of a state standard for theater. And basically, the standards are these points that the state says that you have to try to hit at least. And you're not going to hit all of them, but you are going to hit a lot of them. By nature, that's what we do. Here's one. This is the artistic process is creating, and this is for high school. Students will use personal experiences and knowledge to develop a character that is believable and authentic in a drama/theater work. I don't know what that means to you. It might be a different language, but that's just an example. So you start with that standard, and then what we have to do is that we have to create a lesson to get students to that standard, okay, in whatever content focus. Another example right now, my content focus is the works of William Shakespeare, which deals with language in the Elizabethan era, England, and the place that Shakespeare is written. And that's how I hit those standards. But you know what? As born-again believers, we've got a book of standards, I would say, and it's called God's Word. So tonight, I've entitled the sharing, which I want to briefly speak on, and I call it God's Standards. And I would say this probably goes right along with what we started yesterday morning with our new life in Christ. I think most of us are participating in that wonderful foundational class, which I would say hits a lot of standards that God has written in His Word for the born-again believer. Because, you know, we live in a world where moral values and societal norms change with the times consistently. Worldly standards change. Every single day there's going to be something new that mankind says that the rest of us must live by, and if we don't, game over. But I would say that it's vital for born-again believers such as ourselves to really anchor ourselves in the unchanging standards that God has written in the Scriptures. While human standards are often based on convenience, culture, or personal preference, God's standards are eternal, holy, and designed for our ultimate good. That's the difference between man's standards and the standards of our Heavenly Father. God's standards are rooted in his character. And God's standards are not these arbitrary rules, but a reflection of his perfect character. God is perfect, so his standards are going to be perfect as well. A few things, few attributes that our Heavenly Father possesses. He is holy, just, loving, and true. And because of this, his ways and his standards are always going to be right. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Another verse in Psalm chapter 11, verse 7 says, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright." God calls his children to reflect his nature by living according to his righteousness. And holiness, living a holy life, is not an option for believers. It is the standard by which God has called us to live by. Now, as I mentioned before, the world's standards versus God's standards, the world promotes self-interest, moral relativism, and the pursuit of personal happiness at any cost. Usually it has to do with materialistic things other than spiritual matters. God's word warns us not to conform to worldly standards. I'm going to give you a classic verse that hits this very idea. Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The word of God is the will of God. And you know, God's standards challenge us, I would say, to live differently. You know what the world says? Follow your heart. Whatever you feel on the inside is how you should live. Live your true, authentic self. That seems to be the argument in the world today. But you know what God says about this very thing? In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" See, the world says, do what makes you happy. But you know what Christ said in Luke chapter 9, 23? "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You know, God's word is our ultimate guide for knowing and following the standards of the Father. As we looked at this yesterday, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for" what? "Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And the purpose of the word in verse 17, "So that the man of God may be made perfect, fully furnished unto all good works." You see, through God's word, God teaches us so much about righteousness, purity, love, humility, and obedience. And what God instructs us to do is never burdensome, but are given for our benefits. No one can live up to God's standards by their own strength. And this is why he has given us this incorruptible seed, so that we can be empowered to live as God would have us to live. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You know, we live in the flesh, the five senses, where the standards of the flesh are not based on spiritual matters. Okay? The standards of the flesh are not grounded in truth. But that incorruptible seed that we have in us, that Spirit of Christ within, the Word of God, the standards that are there that are based on spiritual truth, are what strengthens us to live the life that pleases the Father. Okay? Obedience to God's standards leads to life, peace, and blessing. You know, in Psalm 1, it describes the person who delights in God's law as a tree planted by rivers of water, flourishing, fruitful, and steadfast. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said something regarding this. He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When we live according to God's standards, we experience his presence, his guidance, and his provision. So in conclusion, in a world that constantly pressures us to compromise, we are called to stand firm in the truth of God's word. Because God's standards are not restrictive. They are the path to true freedom and joy. You know what? Dr. Werwolf said that the cruelest of all things at one point is religion. Religion. Man's standards. If you do this, if you do that, oh, if you're a good person, then you'll go to heaven. That's religion. It's all about what you do and what you don't do, what you do right, what you don't do right. And that keeps people in bondage. The standards of man will keep people in bondage. However, God's standards are all about freedom, living a life that is free, free to love, free to rejoice, free to give thanks, free to sing praises up to the Father without conditions. It's amazing. So, may we as believers choose to live by what is right in God's eyes rather than what is popular in the world. Because we all trust that his ways are always higher, always better, and always for our good. 1 John chapter 2, 17 says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Isn't that cute? So I trust that what God wanted us to learn tonight was clear. God has standards that promote true freedom and enjoyment in life. Okay? So gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful opportunity to be a part of your kids. And we thank you for helping us live by your standards, Father. You've written so many wonderful truths in your word, Father God. And without it, who knows what life would be like. So I just pray for each heart on the line tonight. And just that you continue to guide our steps, Father God. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.